You're listening to The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's keep it rolling here on a Tuesday edition of The Big Show. Welcome to Hour 4. My name is Garrett Vanderplug, and I'm coming to you live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. If you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings, visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. We got 2-4 games here on today's slate for the NHL playoffs. Leafs and Bruins will go at 5. Islanders and Hurricanes at 5:30. The Avalanche look to eliminate the Winnipeg Jets at 7:30. And the Canucks look to move on to round 2 as they take on the Nashville Predators at 8 o'clock. Those are the slates for tonight. But tomorrow, on Wednesday, the Oilers look to move on to the second round as they have taken a commanding 3-1 lead over the LA Kings. And to talk about the team up north, we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to talk to Oilers regional writer for NHL.com, Derek Van Dees. Derek, what's going on, man? Always a pleasure when you jump on.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on. I mean, I got a little bit of extra culture shock here. It's snowing here in Edmonton today. I just left this. It's kind of a shock to the system when you leave sunny California and arrive and it snows the next day.
Yeah, so, we got the exact same weather going on here right now. I woke up this morning, you know, bright and early for the morning show, and car was covered in snow, sleeting all day. It's tough. We're almost getting into May here. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get into this Oilers club here. They've taken a commanding lead in this series for the third straight year in a row over the Los Angeles Kings. From what you've been seeing from other teams out west, do you think there's an argument that the Oilers might be the most dangerous team out of the west with just how they're playing right now?
I think so, and I think the thing about them winning the way they won Game 4, they were outplayed pretty badly in Game 4. Let's be honest. They were outshot 33-13. Los Angeles threw their best at them in Game 4, and the Oilers were able to survive, and they won 1-0 on a power play goal. And I think they were pretty happy with the way they won that game. They weren't happy with the way they played. They know they could play better. But this was a team that in the past had to score 3, 4, 5 goals to beat you in the playoffs. And obviously that's not a recipe for success in the playoffs, and eventually it always seemed to catch up to them. So if this team can grind out those 1-0, 2-1 wins, I think that'll really bode well for them going in the future. And I think that's something that they were really happy with, the way they won the game and the way Stuart Skinner played. And they thought they played pretty well defensively despite giving up as many shots as they did, because they didn't think that they gave up a lot of grade A chances in that win. So if they can win games like that, and also when they kind of start running and gunning as they have in this series a couple of times, they're going to be a very tough team to beat. And I think that's what kind of makes Edmonton so dangerous moving forward, is that they're finding ways to win hockey games in the playoffs now, when before that was an issue. And I know going into this season, they talked a lot about that, saying, hey, we got to find ways not to lose. We got to find ways to grind games out. And they did that in Game 4, and I think they're very happy with that.
Do you think that 1-0 game in Game 4 might have been like one of the most calm or maybe professional playoff games this Oilers team has played? In years past, they might have got caught running around in their zone. I know that you said it wasn't necessarily their best game, but like you mentioned, they were able to grind it out and stick to a game plan and grind out that win. In your mind, can you really think of a game in which they were kind of able to keep their composure in a game with such high stakes?
Yeah, not lately, and not in the last couple of years. I know when it got to that in Vegas last season, when they were playing Vegas in the second round, they would lose that game. They would somehow find a way to lose that game, and they did lose that game in Game 5 when they were trying to grind out a win, and they ended up losing Game 5 and then eventually Game 6, and that was it for the series. So, no, I can't remember them a time where they were outplayed as badly as they were possession-wise. Because give credit to the Kings, they came out and they played hard, and they forechecked and they hit the Oilers at every opportunity. They didn't sit back like they have for most of the series. They went at them, and the Oilers were able to kind of withstand that. But, yeah, I don't remember them be able to grind out a win like that when they were just outplayed that badly. And I think they got a great performance from Stuart Skinner, who's, you know, come a long way since last season. He's just a different goaltender this season. So that was a big thing for him. And for him to pitch that shutout was big. And I think it was big for him and the team and the confidence they have in him. He had got off to a bit of a rough start here in the playoffs. He had a couple of bad bounces. But I think right now he's really kind of finding a groove. And And yeah, it's been a while since I remember them being able to win a game in that manner in the playoffs.
Yeah, you mentioned Stuart Skinner there, and obviously he was the star of the show in Game 4, the 33-save shutout. Him being in a Canadian market, he's always going to be under a spotlight to a certain extent, but you got to give him credits for what he's been able to do right now. He's been good. Did you ever think he had that type of game in him, or if he was able to reach like the level of play that he's currently at right now?
Well, no, I didn't. And I don't think the organization did either, because the organization, they knew they had Stuart Skinner in the system, and they were developing Stuart Skinner to come up here eventually, but they were developing him to be a backup goalie. That's why they signed Jack Campbell for 5 years. They thought Jack Campbell was going to be their number one guy. Stuart Skinner would be their backup, and they thought between the two, they'd have a nice little tandem going on. But I don't think they ever envisioned Stuart Skinner doing what he's doing. What happened, Jack Campbell didn't work out. It just didn't work out with him. Once they sent Jack Campbell back to the American Hockey League and told Stuart Skinner, hey, you're our guy. You have to carry the ball. And he took it and ran with it. And I think he's taken this game to levels that I think the Oilers may have envisioned down the road, 3 or 4 years down the road. Okay, maybe he can get to this level. But he's only in his second year. And I think that's the thing that's surprising, is he's able to come in here in his second year and do the things that he's doing. And now, Edmonton, you look at their goaltending situation with Stuart Skinner and you go, that's a pretty solid goaltending situation they have. They haven't had something like this in a long, long time. And this is a guy that can be their number one goaltender for 5, 6, 7, 8 years coming down the road. I think they're very happy with his development, but I don't think anyone projected he would be this far along this quickly, which is why they signed Jack Campbell. But they're kind of fortunate it worked out. They got rid of Jack Campbell, and Stuart Skinner's come in here, and he's been the number one guy basically for the entire season.
Derek Van Dees, Oilers writer for NHL.com, is joining me on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's GVP along with you here on Hour 4, the big show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Got to talk about this Oilers power play. They're operating at just a ridiculous clip right now. But it's, to me, it's the adjustments that they're making to avoid being just a one-trick pony. Talk to me about some of the adjustments you're seeing from the Oilers on the extra man as they just continue to confuse LA in this series.
Yeah, and LA has, you got to understand, LA has they had the second best penalty kill in the league this year going into this series. And I think the Oilers were the 8th for 15 on the power play. It's just ridiculous how they've kind of eaten them up. And I think it starts, obviously, with Connor McDavid. He's just so good on the ice. He reads the game so well. Then you have a guy like Leon Draisaitl. Everyone knows where Leon Draisaitl likes to shoot the puck from, like almost below the goal line sometimes. And so they have options with him, and then Zach Hyman's got the net front presence. And then also, I think the big game changer for the Oilers power play is Evan Bouchard on the point, because he's got a blast from the point, but it's also very precise. And I think that's something that you don't see a lot. You've had teams that have the big shot from the point, but you don't necessarily know where it's going. But Evan Bouchard has been able to really be surgical with that shot from the point. So when you have that, you can't really concentrate down low on McDavid and Draisaitl and Hyman, and Nugent Hopkins is also on that power play. You have to be aware of Evan Bouchard up top. And I think that's what we saw the other night, is that the Kings are trying to collapse down low on those guys because they want to – McDavid and Draisaitl are so good with those seam passes across the box. So they're trying to collapse the box, and then you get it up top to Evan Bouchard. And if he can pick a corner from the blue line and the way he shoots the puck, that's really, really tough to stop. And I think that's one thing that the Kings are trying to make those adjustments, but there's just simply too many weapons and too many options for the Oilers on that power play. And I know in the past they've relied a lot on that power play, but you could almost sense that as soon as the Kings took that penalty, you're like, oh no, this is trouble. And the Oilers like jumped on and said, okay, this is our opportunity. We need this power play to score. We need this power play to turn things around. We need the momentum in our favor. And sure enough, Evan Bouchard picks a corner with a blast from the point. And it's just, there's so many weapons and there's so many options on that power play. I don't see how teams can stop it. And right now it's rolling at a ridiculous clip.
Yeah. You bring up Evan Bouchard, and obviously he's been good all season long and great. Even going back to the playoffs last year, nobody has more points from him on the blue line, and they're going to need that offensive production from him. But what are you seeing on the other side of the puck from Bouchard? Because obviously they're going to need him to pull his weight defensively as well.
Yeah, they do. And I think his early struggles defensively had to do a lot with Matthias Ekholm not being healthy. Ekholm missed all of training camp. Something was bothering him. I'm not sure if it was a hip or something else was bothering him. So it took him a while to get going. But Mateus Ekholm has really kind of helped Devin Bouchard along when it comes to the defensive side of the game. Mateus Ekholm is having a great season, and he's a tough stay-at-home defenseman. He's really tough to beat. He makes all the right reads defensively, and that kind of seems to have rubbed off on Evan Bouchard. And also helping out is Paul Coffey behind the bench. When you have one of the best defensemen who ever played the game, and you can talk to him every shift, I think that has really, really helped out. I think that's one of the reasons why the Oilers asked Paul Coffey to come and sit behind the bench, is to help a young player like Evan Bouchard. He was a development coach for a while, so he was helping Bouchard. But when you can go to the bench every shift, and then you kind of break down every shift, and then he tells you where you should be, where you should not be, I think that really helps. His defensive game has come along. He still has a ways to go. I think there's still sometimes he misreads plays, but having Mateus Ekholm there was really a rock for Evan Bouchard, because you can kind of rely on him. They both talk about things. They talk about positioning. And Ekholm is such a great defensive player. So it's going to just kind of rub off on him. But there's still work to be done when it comes to Bouchard and his defensive game. But it's come leaps and bounds from where it was the last couple of years.
I wanted to ask you about some of the players that make up this forward group as well, beyond McDavid and Draisaitl. I wanted to focus on a mid-season addition that they made with Adam Henrique. And how important has it been for the Oilers to be able to play him on that top line alongside with McDavid and Hyman? To me, it feels like having Nugent Hopkins move down to that second line wing feels like a massive addition for that top end scoring. Just what have you made about Adam Henrique's addition to that top line so far?
Yeah, that's a big addition. To bring a guy like Adam Henrique, who's had some playoff experiences, he's gone to the final, scored some big overtime goals, and at first I wasn't sure if he'd be able to play with McDavid, just because McDavid, just you're wondering whether the foot speed was there for Henrique to keep up, but he doesn't necessarily have to keep up. He's just got to find the spaces and find the holes and find the gaps where McDavid can find him, and I think he's kind of figuring that out. He's figuring it out that, okay, when Connor has a puck in the corner, for example, I just got to find a spot where he can find me with a seam pass and things like that. And he's been a big addition because he's got good hands and he's a goal scorer. He's a guy that scores 25 goals a season. Mm-hmm. And he's come in here and he's getting fed by Connor McDavid and he's doing what he's doing. And I think it's been a huge addition. And you're right. It's able to kind of even out the lines now. You can move Nugent Hopkins down. They have Evander Kane moving on that line. So now you've got two pretty solid top lines that you can't really focus. If you have a number one defenseman, if you're a guy like Drew Doughty, who pick your poison? Who do you play against? Do you play against the McDavid line? Do you play against the Draisaitl line? So I think the Oilers like that balance that they can kind of split the two and play the two separately. If it gets into crunch time, then they will go back and throw them together. But, yeah, it does give some balance to the lines when you can have a guy like Adam Henrique to the top six everything kind of settles in below that. So I think that's going to be a big thing going forward, whether Adam Henrique can keep his spot on that top line and if he can keep producing with Connor McDavid.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Evander Kane as well. He's only found the score sheet in game 3 with a goal and assist. And just wanted to get your thoughts on what you've made of him during this series so far. Obviously you want more production, but I guess the Oilers are still finding a way to get it done without him.
Yeah, Evander Kane, he brings a lot to the table in the playoffs. And I think he's a playoff guy. He's a guy that once the playoffs start, he almost flips a switch and he becomes a different player. And he's a physical guy. He's really good on the forecheck. He creates a lot. He kind of gets in under opponent's skins. He does a lot of intangible things that you need in the playoffs. And he will come. And eventually, I think the production will be there. He had a very good game in game 3. He was all over the ice. He had a goal and an assist. And I think that's the Evander Kane that the Oilers need. They went and got this guy because of what he can do in the playoffs, not necessarily for his regular season, because they thought, hey, this guy can be a difference maker come crunch time, come playoff time. And you're starting to see that a little bit now. He kind of gets up for these playoff games. He's a guy that's like, okay, we'll just go through the regular season. I'm not going to say he's going through the motions. He's still playing, but he goes through the regular season, but playoffs is when he shines. He said he was kind of fighting a sports hernia for a little bit there this season, but it looks like he's back to being healthy. But if you can have his physical presence and he's a guy that can really be intimidating at times, that's a big coup for the Edmonton Oilers. And you're starting to see that he's really kind of starting to wind it up here in the playoffs. And I know there were some issues in the regular season. There were some problems that the Oilers were trying to figure out. He got in a couple of arguments on the bench One with Leon Draisaitl, one with Corey Perry. But I think right now the Oilers know that they need a guy like that going forward, especially if they come up against some bigger, stronger teams in the playoffs. They're going to need a guy like Evander Kane to get through those rounds.
What are some of the other series that kind of catch your eye out west right now? It's been a pretty crazy round one out in the Western Conference.
Well, yeah, it has been. Like Vancouver beat up 3-1 in Nashville when they probably should be down 3-1. Like they won a game getting 12 shots on net. They were down 3-1 the other day. We were able to kind of come back and score two empty net goals. So I think that series, I don't think is over. I think that Nashville still has something in them. They've played really well, but Vancouver's been able to sneak out a couple of wins. They're down to a third string goalie. So you don't know, like if Vancouver would like to have that series be done with, and so they can kind of try and get healthy. But that's going to be interesting. Obviously, Dallas losing their first two at home, coming back, winning the next two on the road in Vegas. They're right back in that series now. And so that's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So, there's lots going on out west here. And it's kind of the teams out west were a bit more evenly matched than, than maybe they were in the east. I think the east, you had a couple of bottom feeder teams, and you kind of saw that. Some of these series are going by pretty quickly. I think the West is going to be a battle. And I think even that Winnipeg-Colorado series, I'm surprised it's 3-1, to be honest with you. I thought Winnipeg had a little more. They're going to have to show a little more to get back in that series because Winnipeg was going for it this year. They thought they had a team that could contend. They thought they had a team that could go really far in the playoffs. They loaded up with some players at the trade deadline. So they were going all in. They were going all in this season. So for them to lose in the first round would be enormously disappointing for the Winnipeg Jets to go out in the first round. So I expect to see a push from them. So I think, all these series still have potential to go 6-7. Even this series, I wouldn't count out the Kings. They put in a really good effort and lost, but I think there's still a lot of veteran leadership there. I think there's still a lot of pride there. They're going to put up a pretty good battle here tomorrow night against the Oilers, and I think the Oilers have to be ready to play. They don't want to go back to California for Game 6, but it's going to be a tough to kind of close out. And they always say that the fourth game is always the toughest one to win, so we'll be able to see what happens here. But I really like the way the series, like just how competitive all the series in the West are, and I think it's going to be that team that comes out of the West is really going to be, it's going to be interesting who comes out of the West, because I think there's still 6-7 teams that are capable of coming out of the West and getting to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, it should be awesome to watch. Derek Van Deest, Oilers writer for NHL.com. Derek, always a pleasure having you on, man. Enjoy the games, and let's try to do this again soon, eh?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
There you go. There goes Derek Van Deest, and of course, he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. Four games on the NHL slate tonight. The Maple Leafs look to avoid elimination as they take on the Boston Bruins in Boston. Feels like the Maple Leafs are behind quite the eight ball. I thought maybe they'd be able to show a bit more ability to get over some adversity in this series, kind of reminiscent of what they were able to do in last year's first round against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it just hasn't been the same kind of Maple Leaf. Still looking for Mitch Marner to make an impact in that series. The Hurricanes and Islanders also goes at 5:30 today. The Hurricanes are looking like a wagon. That looks like a deep team. Jake Gensel's been playing good for them. The Kuznetsov addition for them in these postseasons has made a massive impact for them as well. Feels like the Islanders might be packing their bags tonight. We'll see if the Jets can also get back into this series with the Colorado Avalanche. That puck drop is set for 7:30. Winnipeg, man, it felt like that maybe they were going to be able to make this series a little bit more interesting as they were going to try and shut down some of the top-end talent that Colorado has by committee. I know that they don't necessarily have a game-breaker on their team, but they have a lot of nice pieces that have gotten them into this position for the entire season. Hallebuck also, you could argue that he's having a tough series, but the Avalanche are just on a roll right now, and they look like a scary team in the Western Conference. And lastly, the last game on the stretch on the slate tonight, we'll see the Vancouver Canucks trying to close out the Nashville Predators. Don't count out Nashville just yet. I know that the series reached 3-1 in this series, but that's a scrappy team, and they showed a lot of fight to just get into the playoffs this season. We're going to take a break. Around the corner, going to replay our chat we had with Sam Cosentino. He joined the guys earlier on today. Talk about the Flames and their plan for the NHL draft, potentially drafting TJ Ginla? If they miss out on him, maybe what are some of the other backups that they'll have on their agenda when draft day rolls around? That's all straight ahead. Keep it locked. My name is Garrett Vanderplug, and you're listening to Sportsnet 960 The Fan.